back to the Rule of Three. I'm Tim Slagle. On the other side, Mr. Brian Miller.
Hello.
And today, St. Patrick's Day, but we're going to get into that a little later. The one news story I think that's sticking out for me, Brian, is the college kid who went to North Korea and thought he was perpetrating a little college prank.
This is a great story.
Apparently, and I should have the story in front of you. You got it in front of you? What's his name? I should give his name.
I'm pulling it right back up here. See, North Korea.
Dumbass.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's young, too. I mean, he got undergrad written all over him.
Let's see
this little fella's name here.
Well, at this point, he's probably won't grad.
Otto Frederick Warmbier.
Wow.
Otto Frederick. He looks like an Otto Frederick. He's wearing a pretty spiffy suit in this picture. He's wearing like a white linen suit, which is probably a mistake in court.
His last name is Warmbier?
Yep.
Boy, that has prep school written all over it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. He definitely wasn't mowing lawns to pay his tuition, I'll tell you that.
For those of you unfamiliar with the story, either because it's been forgotten and you're looking back in the archives, or because you just don't read the news, he was on student break. He was on a New Year's Christmas holiday break. And a bunch of other classmates went to North Korea,
which is just, let's break down the psychology of this. Literally, why does one go to North Korea?
I might add in January.
Oh, is it more of you want a spring in North Korea? Is that more of a spring destination?
Yeah, I don't. Well,
the impression is lovely this time of year.
One would think that at least in the spring you can go outside. It's, in January you're going to be relegated to gray, damp buildings that smell of pain and torture.
Well, according to Kim Jong-un, it's always spring in North Korea, so you can really go outside anytime. I was like, 30 Rock did such a funny running gag where they had Margaret Cho play... at the time, I believe it was Kim Jong-il. It was before he died. And they would always show flashes of North Korea, and he would always be like the weatherman on the news and the newscast. He was always like doing everything. It was always his version. It was such a funny gag. She was really funny in it. But it's kind of the garden how I think of North Korea. But just sadder and not with, no Margaret Cho.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing about North Korea is that there is something incredibly comical about you tend to forget the torture and the starvation and the
horrible just isolation, like the weird. Yeah. I mean, it's like one country is the entire. It's like a national version of that movie Room, where they're all being held inside this confined space by this crazy guy.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't really. I don't know if he thought he knew where he was. I don't know if he thought. That petty theft. He I don't think I mentioned it yet. He stole a banner, I guess. He was at the hotel, and there was a banner there. And according to the reports, he was told by somebody that they would give him $10,000 if he could bring it home. A used car worth $10,000 if he were to bring it home. Which
this particular banner.
Yes,
or a banner at least.
I don't know. They said in the article that I read that they kind of implied that that confessions from North Korea are usually recanted.
Sure.
So the story he's telling might not be the actual story. I think they might have written it for him so it sounds more conspiratorial. But what he said, I guess, was that he was promised he didn't have much money, which sounds, his family didn't have much money, which sounds like a great, that's the kind of story that North Korea wants told about America, is that he's stealing a banner because he has no money and needs his family.
As opposed to, it sounds certainly more like, dude, how awesome would that look hanging in the dorm room
Exactly what I thought. It's,
This reminds me of? This is a real blast from the past news story. But you remember when that American student got in trouble for spraying graffiti over in Singapore in maybe the early 90s, 92, 93, and he got sentenced to be caned?
Yeah, that was actually that. Interestingly enough, when you call up the story, that one's one of the ones that pop up in the bottom of the feed is the Singapore caning story.
That was huge international news. They even did that Simpsons kind of parody of it where Bart did something wrong in Australia and then he's going to get the boot and he's going to get kicked in the behind by this like angry Australian guy with a giant boot. It's a really good episode separately, but I think. People will probably remember that Simpsons episode much better than they remember the story that inspired it.
Unfortunately, I'm sure this kid would rather have a caning because he was just sentenced to 15 years of hard labor.
Yeah, and like I said, North Korean hard labor, I'm guessing, is for real hard labor.
Well, yeah, I don't think that North Korean easy labor is anything, you know, being a North Korean pop star is not easy labor. You wonder
if they had like a translation difficulty where they're like, well, there's not really a North Korean term for hard labor. There's only labor, really. The notion of degrees of labor is really not something that we've ever focused on.
Yeah. And it's the other thing is, you know, he's not going to get a translator. You know, if he was sentenced, if it was a North Korean sentenced in the United States, they would probably have to provide him with a translator in prison, so that he could understand all the instructions that are being given by the warden. I'm guessing that he's just going to be in this place where people are talking gibberish. They're going to look down on him, and you know, especially the guards. He does not have a happy 15 years ahead of him.
No, I mean, it's a sad story for sure in a way. But reminds me of the caning story in which I think, you know, as Americans, it's not that bad things don't happen here, but we definitely live in a bubble. Like, our government can be real crappy. But by and large, if you're actually an American, our government doesn't just, like, snap you up and drag you somewhere and beat the crap out of you with bags of oranges and, you know, hold you in a place for all the, you know, we have a certain amount of laissez-faire attitude about life, you know. We're like, yeah, it's okay, nothing too bad is gonna happen to you. And so people get so used to living in the American bubble, you know, you go to these places that have these different rules and you don't get American, oh, I'm American, so all American rules apply to me. I always think that's a weirdly narcissistic attitude to take when people sort of, you know, like as though their Americanness protects them from like, no, there's places in the world where really bad things can happen to you for almost no reason.
And in America, we have dorm rooms full of road signs.
Yes. Oh, I mean, I'll tell you what. You know, remember the Chicago Transit Authority, not the band, but the actual Chicago Transit Authority, had to issue a request a few years ago for students to please not only stop stealing the L signs, but to bring some back because it was so expensive. I mean, we definitely had a full transit map that we'd constructed in our dorm room in junior year, where we just always steal the red line signs or whatever, and that way we could plan trips from in the house. And it looked cool.
Yeah, that's most importantly, it looked cool because I'm sure, you know, you could have taken one of those little pamphlets and put it up on the corkboard.
Totally, yeah. Well, and if ever there was a city that would love to make you pay tons of money and do hard labor for something as stupid as stealing a sign, it would be Chicago. they love to bust you on a technicality in Chicago. That's like the city sport for the officials. But
they're not going to punish you to hard labor.
They
might require you to pay the fine right there on the spot. Cash, please.
Yeah, or like the cop in Chicago did to me where he gave me two parking tickets at 11:50 at night, and then he came back at like 12:30, aka 45 minutes later, and wrote me two more parking tickets for the same infraction. And then the city refused to acknowledge that they were not essentially the same day, and I had to pay all four of them.
Oh, because he came back after midnight?
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, but the first ticket was at literally like 11:50 or 11:45 at night. So he hit me then, circled right back around, hit me again.
And speaking of time, we're out of it. And we're back with the rule of three. Tim Slagle, Brian Miller.
Yeah.
And
taking a drink of water here.
Sorry. You thought I was going to go longer. My fault. I was going through the news. I was looking for stuff that we could talk about, and happened to run across an article that claimed that hoverboards are going to be banned in the U.S. That hoverboard, well, not they won't be banned. You know, they should be, considering the amount of home fires that they have actually been started by the hoverboards.
Yeah, but that's not the reason.
For me, has not been adequately explained.
Yeah, what about it causes to – is it like the battery inside? Like what is it that's bursting into flames?
Yeah, these lithium batteries that all of us have in our front pocket next to a very tender portion of ourselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Have a tendency to burst into flames from time to time. And that has never adequately been explained to me. Why that happens, how it happens, how frequently it happens. We all know it happens. You know?
I would only accept the hoverboards bursting into flame if they were actual hoverboards. If there was some mojo that was making them hover, I'd be like, well, you know, sometimes stuff that makes you fly bursts into flames. I don't know.
That is part of the fascination, I think, with the hoverboards, is that it was one of those things that was promised to us.
So long in so many ways. I mean, remember when Back to the Future 2 came out, there was kind of the, I don't know, maybe this is just childhood rumor. There was always the whisper that like the, you know, that hoverboard was real or they're really going to have those soon. You know, that was supposed to have been around the corner.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. No, we are definitely from different generations because it seemed to me that no one took that seriously. No one ever thought that was... You know, but then again, I remember, you know, growing up, I remember that flying cars and jetpacks were supposed to be a reality of the future for us.
Yeah, definitely.
So that, you know, 2001 was supposed to, was taken very literally when I was a kid. So perhaps, you know, perhaps it has something to do with, you know, when you see the future presented to you, you think that... You know, we thought there were going to be Pan Am flights to the moon.
Sure. And, what's interesting is
there isn't even Pan Am anymore.
Yeah, right. It turns out to be more of like a Blade Runner-y future where certain things are still sort of weirdly grimy and lo-fi. But then, you know, I mean, the cell phones and the Skype, there's plenty of things that are, you know, if you step back and think about it, that are unbelievable. And
yeah,
that are
well, the talking computers.
Yeah, the casual integration of the talking computers.
We kind of thought that when we saw that, we kind of thought, oh, that's just because that's just a plot device.
Yeah, and saves on an actor. You know, you can just have the director's wife read lines from a thing, and it,
yeah,
like, you know.
you can pay someone just voiceover talent, or you know what? No, I was thinking it was more special effects. It was, you know, they didn't have to wire together as many Christmas lights.
Or show a robot or something. It's like, oh, it's just the computer talking to him. You know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, there's now several computers you can buy that actually will talk to you, and they don't have that. They talk like the Star Trek computer, not like
not like Siri.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The Star Trek computer was a pleasant female voice, you know, rather than R2-D2.
Right, or yeah.
Or
Dr. Spatzo. Remember Dr. Spatzo, the old program where you could ask your computer advice and it would answer?
No.
And that weird, it would answer in a weird mechanical voice?
Nope. Different generation. But I'm also thinking that the computers, you know, the computers were also supposed to talk like, you know, like a voiceover actor talking through a fan.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how
the computers talked in the, you know, in the, like in Lost in Space and then, you know, in the science fiction films, the computers always had that rawr, sort of voice. But
they definitely didn't burst into flames at random. That part was definitely not in there.
Which back to the hoverboards. You would think that that's actually why hoverboards were being hoverboard imports were being banned in the U.S.
That's what I assumed when you told me.
I was thinking when I heard about them blowing up, I was thinking that it was that's got to be the cheap Chinese imports, and I'm sure there were, and the cheap Chinese imports are going to be banned, but not for bursting into flames. They're being banned because they infringe on Segway's copyrights, which you can't get more Chinese than that.
It's a pirated Segway, yeah.
Stealing trademarks and copyrights are more Chinese than chop suey.
Yeah, but just making it slightly more dangerous. You know, it's like, it's a slightly more treacherous version of this thing that we've already got.
Yeah, we'll take off the handlebars, we'll call it a hoverboard, and we'll make it cool. And amazingly, they did.
They're very popular. I've never actually seen one in person, but I'm never around kids.
This is not by
court mandate or anything. It just
this was
work
the
out.
Most interesting thing to me is that the Popeye's chicken by our house has to be the worst Popeye's ever. It's if I didn't love Popeye's chicken so much and wasn't too lazy to drive to another one, I would so not do business at that.
In terms of like the service or the actual quality?
Quality's okay, but I mean it's pretty much, you know, put this in here, you know, hit the timer, dump it out.
Oh, right. I mean, yeah, that's what I was wondering. But sometimes there are weirdly like better locations. Like that Applebee's is better than that Applebee's. How is that possible? But it is.
Well, it was. It actually was a better Popeye's before. And I think it was a franchise before.
They had more quality control. That's why Subway's vary kind of wildly, I think, because Subway was, as far as I can tell, anybody who had a bread knife and two nickels to rub together could have themselves a Subway franchise in a strip mall.
But what happened was, interestingly, what happened at this one was the guy comes around with my order on a hoverboard.
Oh. Like the waitresses on roller skates, but the high-tech.
Well, no, but it's back there. It's back there in the kitchen. So like he's going, you know, way back to the, you know, to where the refrigerator where the coleslaw is, and then, you know, then stopping, picking up the basket of chicken that's draining, and then comes over and then dumps it under the hot light.
You slipped with one of those. Scalding chicken. Oh my god!
I know. I couldn't figure out whether it was an experiment or just a lazy manager.
Yeah, I mean, the Segway is the laziest of all inventions. I would say it's a segue between us being fat and really fat. invented, by the way, one of my favorite facts, invented by a fellow named Dean Kamen. And Dean Kamen's dad, Jack Kamen, was a terrific comic book artist. And was responsible for a lot of the Tales from the Crypt and old horror comic covers and some of the most famous stories from that.
Huh.
Jack Kamen.
I would think that the father of the Segway inventor would be Johnny Hart.
Johnny Hart.
Yeah, he's the one that did the BC comic strip.
Oh. I knew I recognized that name.
Yeah, because every time you open the funny papers, you go, are they still doing this?
Yeah, it's ironic. It's like, this has actually been around since BC times. I think that at one point this was a contemporary strip that was all hitting all the hot button issues. It was like The Wire of its day, and then, you know.
Well, it was when I was a kid is Mobile actually was working with BC. I think it was Mobile. And the BC character on the wheel was he'd always stop at a Mobile station, or Marathon. Might have been Marathon.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you can get BC glasses at a Marathon and stuff like that. It was a real big tie-in.
I wonder what the pirated Chinese version of BC reads like. I don't know. Nobody ever found out because it keeps bursting into flames.
And speaking of bursting into flames.
Thank you. And on the final segment of Rule of Three, as promised today, proof of life, I'll hold up a newspaper so you know this is being recorded on St. Patrick's Day. definitely a holiday as a comedian that it inspires mostly somewhere between loathing and just general disinterest because, first off, I think, you know, as a comic, you spend so many time in bars that the notion of going out to a bar is not – it doesn't really hold that much appeal to me anymore. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. Well, you know.
I like drinking with friends. It's not that I will never go to a bar, but I'd rather go to somebody's house and have a beer on their patio or something, you know?
Yeah. I like to go to the bar, but I don't like the enforced drinking holidays.
Yeah, right, where it's somehow like you're, oh, drink faster.
Yeah, it's like it's St. Patrick's Day, we must get drunk. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's kind of how I treat Christmas, but not St. Patrick's Day. I was thinking Cinco de Mayo quietly has really taken the place of St. Patrick's Day. It's a much more relaxed drinking holiday. You don't have to get blitzed on Cinco de Mayo. You're supposed to just not work. You know, and it's a patio season. You get here in May. You can sit outside, have a Corona, lean back.
I will say that I like guacamole better than I do corned beef and cabbage.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I think Cinco de Mayo they got it locked up. That's what we should all be celebrating.
Even though I did make corned beef and cabbage yesterday.
Was it in honor of, or just happened to be?
Well, it always goes on sale this time of year.
Fair enough.
So it's in corned beef. It's one of those things. Much like a turkey, is that you can have it on the day, and then leftovers are wonderful.
Oh yeah, the sandwich is the.
You get a loaf of rye bread and then have sandwiches for a couple of days and then you're just going to have some crumbles and then what you do is you make hash with those.
Oh, so. Yeah, I'm a big fan of corned beef hash.
Yeah, so but, that's
that's the
so,
one thing so, the Irish got going for them. I'll give them that.
But I do prefer guacamole. I,
yeah.
I will say I do prefer guacamole and chips and margaritas and Guinness, probably a tie.
I'll take a margarita.
Yeah, don't like the Guinness?
It's fine, but I'll take a margarita. In May, it's patio season. You know, March is so kind of
dreary
in Minnesota,
I agree.
You know? May's a much better time to take a day off and get loaded. But I think it's interesting. People have people who don't work in comedy have sometimes kind of funny ideas about or what would be constitute. Oh, it must be way fun. A show on St. Patrick's Day. Well, that'll be crazy fun. Or I remember when I first started doing comedy, somebody asked me to do a 420 show, like, you know, a weed type show, and I was like, oh, this will be great. And I was like, no, everyone was just staring stupefied at me. They were sleepy. It was terrible. I hate a 420 show. And so St. Patrick's Day is traditionally a pretty bad day for comedy because the audience is either not there, or if they're there, they're not there.
Well, that's the thing. On St. Patrick's Day, the audience is the show.
It's like
Halloween, St. Patrick's Day, and bachelorette parties.
Yep. Yep.
Is the audience is the show. They don't really need the New Year's Eve too, which kind of always bummed me out because I always thought that New Year's Eve would be a wonderful show to do for a comic that that does current events. Because
well,
you
Liz
could
Winstead
do
does that. Every year in Minneapolis.
Does a year in review?
Yep. She does a year in review every year and has done it for maybe 4 or 5 years. She does it like the 2 days running up to New Year's, and then she does one or two New Year's Eve shows.
Huh.
Big ticket item in town because she's from here. Huh. And, you know, she's, you know, big name.
Huh.
But yeah, that's huh. So, yeah. I mean, and now she can do it because she's pulling in her Liz Winstead crowd. But I don't know if she wasn't her that it's like just. I see what you mean.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I thought that, you know, just in general, you know, that, you know, and I've tried it before. I've tried to do, you know, New Year's Eve shows and tried to do a year in review and no interest.
No, that's a party crowd, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely. But the thing that makes sense to me more on New Year's is like, hey, let's go to the comedy show. You know, when they do like the shows at 8 and then there's a band from 10 to 1. That because then the comedy is kind of the fun sit down entertainment, and then you kind of go into the drinking and the revelry. I'm always kind of surprised by the people who want to be at the comedy show as it turns midnight.
Yeah,
which is always packed.
Well, what always cracked me up in the early days, back when, you know, we were just experimenting with club comedy. Mm-hmm. I guess I would say,
yeah,
is that originally, some of the clubs would hand out noisemakers.
Oh God.
not really thinking it through. The waitresses would say, well, let's get these out early.
Oh.
So,
which makes,
yeah,
sense from waitresses' perspective, because, like, hey, I got crap to do on top of delivering all these noisemakers.
Right. Right. And it's and back in the early days, too, back when back before digital watches and atomic clocks and, you know, phones, mm-hmm, that synced up. You wouldn't have to do New Year's at New Year's.
Or you could probably, you just say, like, oh, look, time's about ticking down. I got my watch here. 3, 2, 1, right? Like, you just, it was when,
yeah,
you said it was.
You could, yeah, when it, yeah, exactly. You could, it's New Year's when we say it's New Year's. Of course, there would always be one smartass in the room who actually synced his watch. Do you know how we used to do that? You used to call time.
Yep, you call the number, the bank clock number, and they had the official time, and you could
at
sync
the tone, the time will be, and then you, yep, could actually sync your watch, and people, you know, the nerds in the room would do that, and so that they would. It's almost midnight. It's almost midnight. It's like, shut up. It's no, it's not. Not, yeah, in this club. No, we're on. You know, we're on comedy time. We're on. Yeah. We're in the comic time zone.
The show started 7 minutes late, so it'll be New Year's at 12:07.
But yeah, the noisemakers on New Year's, and then St. Patrick's Day. I mean, there's all sorts of appliances. Which occurs to me, because I used to do a bit about this, but it just occurs to me that recently that they're saying that the sombrero is insulting now.
Yeah, I kind of don't get that. I gotta say, because, like, to me, the sombrero was sort of the counterpart to, like, the cowboy hat.
Yeah,
a 10-gallon hat on a Texan to me is the same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Or it's like the British Navy peacoat, or I don't know. There's certain things. Where it's like, yeah, it's I don't know. It's not like somebody saw the sombrero and they're like, look at that super inferior hat. You know, like, there's no negative association. And plus, it's like, yeah, your country's sunny as hell. You got a big wide brim hat to keep the sun off of you. I get it. Uh-huh. It's a very practical thing.
Yeah, perhaps it has something to do with all the American tourists going to Cancun and getting their picture taken in the giant sombrero. I think anyone that went to Cancun in the 80s has a picture of them with all their friends wearing the giant sombrero.
But don't you think in foreign, like in European countries, there's a lot of people like, hey, American cowboy hat, you know? It's like, how many,
sure,
Americans wear a cowboy hat?
But
I'm not offended by it. It's like, yeah, well, I get why they would associate that. John Wayne, you know, the whole thing. I don't take it personally. It's okay. I'm not internalizing that critique.
But it is interesting that you can go out on Cinco de Mayo and you can have a margarita and guacamole, but you cannot put on a sombrero. And yet you can, on St. Patrick's Day, wear a green derby.
Yeah.
Or which
just
I don't
generally
even think,
be a douchebag.
which I don't even think they wear in Ireland. I don't think there's green derbies.
No, I don't think St. Paddy's Day is a big deal in Ireland from what I've heard.
My grandma, my departed grandma, who said it was like Thanksgiving. Is that the family would get together and they'd eat together and you know, it was definitely a holiday. In fact, we celebrated it. She would have St. Patrick's Day.
Sure, but it wasn't like it wasn't like our version of it, right? It wasn't like gonna get extra plaster today kind of.
No,
party
it wasn't like put on the spinning bow tie and the glitter vest.
Yeah. So there might be a happy ending to the St. Patrick's Day comedy story, though, which is that I'm working at our mutual favorite comedy club. This week, and I was talking to the manager, and she said, wow, we got like 150 people on the books for tonight. So I'm hoping that we will have, because the club is so good, that it will draw essentially the anti-St. Patrick's Day people who don't want to go out and get plowed, you know? Because, you know, I don't think people aren't going to show up hammered to a nice club. Usually just people don't show up on St. Patrick's Day. It's just quiet.
Yeah, you might see a little green.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's
you
fine.
You might see a little,
you know,
wearing of the green.
Oh, that's still. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be people showing up looking like, we're going to drink 97 beers. So this might be the first good St. Patrick's Day show I've ever had in my life. So,
well,
fingers crossed.
Well, happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Yes, indeed. And you do. Enjoy your corned beef, and I will enjoy my free comedy club steak.
And I think that's all for today. TimSlagle.com is where you can find all the episodes.
Yeah. Oh, and Podbean, of course, the new Podbean site.
Oh, yeah. Ruleof3.podbean.com is where they're actually housed. But come to TimSlagle.com because I need the hits.
Yeah, right. If you're going to go that way.
And you want to know more about Brian, BrianMillerComedy.com with Brian with a Y.
Yep. And at BMillerComedy on Twitter. I'm a big-ish Twitterer, I suppose. I enjoy the Twitter. So.
And other than that, we'll see you in a week.
See, St. Patrick's Day, you're secretly already hammered, aren't you, Tim? I know how it is.
Oh, Aaron's going brawless.
See you next week.
Hannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malachy, Malone, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dooley, O'Holy, Muldowney, Malone, Halligan, Calligan, Lanigan, Madigan, Fagan, O'Hagan, O'Hoolahan, Flynn, Shanahan, Manahan, Fogarty, Hogarty, Kelly, McGinnis, McGillis, McGlynn. Shake hands with your uncle, Mike, me boy. There's your sister Kate. Sure, she is the girl you used to swing the way that Dad gave. Shake hands.